This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan on a hump day.
Hump day.
Below the belt at 840, Brett Boone, our first Brett Boone interview of the season as the Rangers get started tomorrow. Game you can hear right here on 105.3 The Fan. He will join us coming up at 9:20, but we got a special guest, Bobby Belt.
We do.
With Dak Prescott.
We do. We have the premier instigator on the Cowboys beat. I personally,
I call
like,
him Jinx.
I personally like to refer to him as the Jake Paul of Cowboys media. It's Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. What's up, chill?
Yo, how you doing? I don't want to be Jake Paul because Jake Paul's not legitimate. He's not a legitimate boxer.
Hey,
who's going to win the fight?
He's a fraud.
Who's going to win the fight, Tyson or Jake Paul?
Tyson's going to win the fight, but Tyson's going to keep him up. It's a fraud. It's a fraud fight. Come on, man. Come on.
That's fair. I agree with you. The guys over here, they're all saying that, nope, Tyson's too old. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's still Tyson.
I might be changing my pick.
It's not going to be a real fight.
The videos have gotten to you. All right, yeah. Clarence, we saw yesterday there was the Ian Rappaport report that said Cowboys and Dak Prescott are sort of just approaching this as, all right, we're going to approach this as a lame duck season, in essence, and something we can revisit next year, but that as it stands right now, Dak Prescott is the way has been paved for him to enter free agency in 2025 with the Cowboys having no ability to tag him. Just your thoughts on where things stand with Dak Prescott and the organization, and I guess how much you're buying into the idea that the Cowboys are going to let this ride out versus it being posturing.
Well, I mean, I think it's all posturing. I mean, you know, and there's no deal until there's a deal, and I don't know if he's going to get free agency next year or not because, you know, they could sign him, you know, before the start of free agency. Or, you know, they could sign him before training camp. But right now it's all posturing, you know, and certainly the Cowboys do have a cap constraint. They do, you know, have deals they want to do with Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. And so you have the Dak Prescott question. You know, what I do know is that we were here between the Troy Aikman and Tony Romo years. I know Jerry doesn't want to go back to that quarterback abyss.
No, he doesn't.
You know, and so they do have a quarterback, you know, one that hasn't won, one that they – Jerry Jones himself says he can win with, and he said that as well this week, that Dak Prescott is one of the ones who can still win a Super Bowl. It's just a matter of how much can they pay him, how much they want to pay him, and certainly, mm-hmm. you know, Dak and his representatives have never taken less, and Jerry Jones is posturing they're trying to get him to take less.
So, but, like, yeah, again, it's just – doesn't this seem like an odd pivot for this team? Like they always are basically all in. And now it's like they're setting it up for the fall. It just seems like an odd pivot. Like what has changed? What or who has gotten into Jerry's ear?
Well, first of all, deadlines make deals. They don't have a hard deadline. This is a manufactured deadline of needing to get it done. And they've never got anything done without being – having a deadline impressed to get a deal done. You know, that's been their MO, and which is why in many cases they've lost these contract negotiations. You know, they could have got Dak done years before they got him done. You know, and wouldn't have, you know, been in, you know, having to pay him what they had to pay him on this pass deal. But, you know, until there's a real hard deadline, you know, they're letting this thing play out. You know, they're not being smart about it. But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we know Mike McCarthy is in the last year of his deal. Mm-hmm. You know, and how do you move forward without Mike McCarthy but with Dak Prescott? Or Dak Prescott without Mike McCarthy, you know, are they not tied at the hip at this point?
No, it's a good point to make in terms of like if their futures are, hey, you rise and fall together. Here's my question, Chill, because this is the contention that I've made. I think that Dak would like to be here. I think that Dak, you know, obviously we've heard he grew up a big Cowboys fan. I think he loves the organization. He's had, you know, made roots here, everything else. If, though, my thought is if they're really serious about this and they let him go test free agency, I just believe he's gone at that point. I think he takes the decision out of your hands. And if you let him get to the market, then the Cowboys have essentially decided, like, you know, the Cowboys have essentially gotten to a place where they're going to let him walk because they're not going to have a say in it with the inability to tag him or anything else. If Dak were to get to free agency in 2025, do you think that that's essentially goodbye Dak? Or do you think that he would, you know, has enough of an affinity for this Cowboys organization that he would still be open to giving them a chance to match or working with them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a long way between now and free agency. Even if they don't get it done during the season, there's a point before the start of free agency, they get it done. I don't think that if they want to sign him, they're going to let him get to the open market, you mm-hmm. know, because he will have a market. They can't tag him. You know, they can't train him. He will have a market. You look at Oakland, a lot of teams out there, and Cowboy fans can complain about Dak and what he hasn't done, but he's certainly better. He will have a market, you know, and I just don't see it getting to that point. But, you know, if he gets to the market, certainly he's not coming back, and there's no reason to come back. But my thing is, how do you commit to CD without having a quarterback?
Mm-hmm. And has he committed to the organization?
Well, all of that, you know, and what's the future for CD if Dak's not here, you know, and then you don't have – a answer at quarterback. Why would you spend that type of money that they're probably going to spend on CeeDee Lamb and not have a quarterback to get him the ball to maximize his earnings, you know, which was the problem with you know, Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to pay a guy that money, you got to be able to get the ball to maximize his earnings. Well, if you're going to pay CeeDee, which we believe they will, you cannot have uncertainty at quarterback.
Schefter said that if they were to let him walk after this year, they would have a $95 million dead cap. Is that accurate?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be 2 years, or you know, because you have all the money from all the extensive stuff coming due. But, yeah, the dead cap is going to be high. There's no question about it. You know, like he has a $59 million cap at this year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then when you add in – and obviously they'll have a chance to split it over a couple of years, but yeah, it's why it was always set up to do a deal. You know, when they signed the deal 4 years ago,
yeah.
It was always set up to be addressed this year going into the season because they knew it was going to be a high cap number, and for them to address it and extend it, you know, that was the plan. You know, and now you have all these other cap situations, and they're going to let it ride, but. You know, it hurts the Cowboys, you know, financially to let him walk as well, for sure.
Do they draft one this year?
Where? They're not drafting one in the first or second round. And you know, they're not doing that. They have too many other needs, too many other holes. You know, certainly, you know, they definitely are seemingly locked in to draft an offensive lineman, you know, in the first round. I mean, where do you get a guy this year? And next year's class is not, you know, the cream of the crop from all indications.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Clarence, you know, we outside of the Dak issue, you mentioning there the offensive line thing at 24. Where Tyler Smith plays is dependent on how the draft falls, or do you think the Cowboys will approach it as, hey, we've got a position in mind for Tyler Smith, and now we need to go find the other holes?
No, I think it's how the draft falls, for sure. I mean, and it's one of these typical Cowboys – because one day Jerry Jones says, oh, Tyler Smith, that's an option to left tackle. He's going to go to left tackle. And then 2 days later, then the next day, Steven and Mike McCarthy said, no, Tyler's going to stay at guard right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's certainly a situation where they got to see who's available, what they get in the draft before they make a final decision on where Tyler Smith plays.
Talking with Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Chill, you know, we look at the running back market right now. The Cowboys, there was some talk that they were interested in Zach Moss in free agency. That obviously didn't happen. You know, they've re-signed Rico Dowdle, but they only have so many resources in the draft. It's getting later in free agency. At what point do you think the Cowboys potentially consider, like, an Ezekiel Elliott reunion?
I mean, I think it's something they consider, but, I mean, you know, it's a position for sure they're going to take in the draft. I mean, just talking to Steve and talking to guys, it's a position they will target in the draft at some point. You know, what round, you know, second, third round, but they have to get younger. They have to get cheaper. And you know it's funny because Zeke still is counting $6 million against this cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about he still has $6 million on cap hit against this cap, and he hasn't been on the team in 2 years. You know, but obviously – they're not going to make a decision on Zeke or somebody like that until well in the, you know, after mini camp, going into training camp. They were going to do something like that. You know, that's certainly, I don't think, at the forefront of their thinking. But, you know, never say never or a Zeke reunion in Dallas. But where's the market for Zeke guys out of Dallas at this point?
Oh, that's a good question. Season starts tomorrow.
How many teams have a fullback?
Man,
gotta look for him.
Or a center?
a center. Hey, the Cowboys do have a need. Maybe that's what they're looking to bring him back with, Chill.
Wasn't that his last play in
Dallas? It was.
How would you handle a Tyler Smith situation then?
Tyler Smith? I think you have to play option quarterback. I mean, I think what you get in the draft, do you get a bona fide left tackle like Keaton McGuard? Because Tyler Smith can be a special guard. And I he was their best guard last year. And I think he can be a special player at guard. But he may be your best option at tackle. And Jerry Jones talked about it. They played Larry Allen at tackle. You know, they played Larry Allen at tackle for 1 year. And he played made all pro. And they moved him back to guard, once they drafted a tackle the next year. So it could be a one-year thing as well. I mean, you could, you know, move Tyler Smith to tackle this year depending on what you get in the draft. And Or don't get and then and go back to guard. If you take a center in the first round, you move Tyler Smith to tackle, move TJ Bass to guard, and roll with it. And then the next year, you may draft your tackle.
Chill, when you know we talk there about Dak Prescott, their level of commitment there. Getting a CeeDee Lamb deal done potentially this offseason. How much longer do you think the Cowboys take a similar weight approach that they've taken with other guys? Do you think they do the same with Micah Parsons, or do you think they try to get something done this offseason outside of whatever posturing they have about, oh, we want him to be here for a long time, whatever else? What do you think the outlook is for Micah Parsons to get something done this offseason?
Well, it's either this offseason, next offseason. I think that those are the three, you know, Micah, Dak and CeeDee. I think CeeDee is probably going to go first. There can't be life on defense without Micah Parsons, right? I mean, you can't let him walk, you know, and what you need to do is get him some help. But he is a premier defensive player, and he will get the highest contract in the defensive player in NFL history whenever he signs. What does that look like, you know? Look at the Bosa deal.
Hey, but,
And
typically, Chill, like we always know when they've entered these negotiations, okay, Ezekiel Elliott, it was, well, look, I mean, the running back position, it's kind of been devalued. And the DeMarcus Lawrence negotiation was like, well, I mean, come on, you did it for those 1 year, but we don't know. Were you a flash in the pan, an Albert Haynesworth, like contract year guy? Dak, they've always tried to work around. What do you think the approach is going to be? What are we going to hear over the next few months? Like, what could they possibly say in a Micah Parsons negotiation that would cause them to win that negotiation? Because, you know, they always try to find something.
Well, they rarely win. I mean, that's the point. They didn't win with Dak.
Right.
They didn't win with Zeke. I mean, they can posture and say what they want, but they rarely win. They're not winning with CeeDee and not winning with Micah. But if you want to bring up some things, I mean, what did he do in the playoffs?
All right, season starts tomorrow. Roster is as it is. What's the projected record?
Oh, my God. I think that there's still one or two in the NFC East, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't see them going 12-5 again. I think that, you know,
10, 11 wins, maybe. It just depends on the record, depending on how it falls. I mean, you know, the Cowboys still have a good roster. They still have TD. They still have Dak. They still have the question is not about the record. You know, the big question for the Cowboys is, if they get to the playoffs, what are they going to do? I mean, it can't be one or done again, one and done again. And, you know, how can you go forward with one and done?
Right. Hey, brother, we appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Join us here, 105.3.
The great Clarence Jake Paul Hill. Dude, I always love Clarence is the one who, when you need an answer, I'll go get it. I'll go up there. You know,
he'll talk. Like, oh, he'll ask anything.
Jerry's over there. How do we want to approach Jerry? And Clarence is like, don't worry, I got this. And he just goes over and goes, Jerry, come
right
on, let's talk.
Right over there. Right.
He's a bulldog. Love Clarence.
Yes, he is. Good to him to join us. All right, now, up next on this hump day edition Sean and RJ. The NFL has come to the rescue yet again. Tell you how and why next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And normally this time on a Wednesday, we'll have Matt Pittman on, but he is on vacation.
Boy, you're lucky. We're gonna call you out for going after me putting Blanco on the spaghetti sauce.
Listen, man, I'm old school.
You got a problem with garlic and onion in spaghetti sauce?
Yeah, see, I didn't read the label.
You just thought I was putting steak seasoning on there.
That's what I thought you were putting on there.
No, it's like garlic, onion, some MSG. It's good, dude.
So is MSG back?
So I know
I'm hearing about things. I've been hearing about MSG now. It was you can't use this forever.
Kristen's got an intolerance to it. So like Kristen, like when she eats it, her throat closes up. Like she starts having an allergic reaction. So she can't eat it. Wow. Which she found out later on, somebody had told her.
Mark that.
Yeah. Somebody had told her, somebody had told us at some point, like she had gone to the doctor and they were like, well, it's not just MSG. If you're trying to avoid MSG, you also need to look for yeast extract on the label. Yeast extract is another derivative of MSG. So that's just kind of like a code word for it. And then there was like another one. I can't remember what it was, but there's another one that it's called. Like people, they call it something where it's like, oh, yeast extract, MSG. That's essentially the same. And then I can't remember what the other one was.
Oh, like an inch and a half.
It's apparently, the whey protein. Whey protein is another version of MSG. Yeah, apparently.
Really?
That's what this doctor said.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
But anyway, you're lucky you missed out because we're going to call out the awkward moment where you were like, "Don't you disgust me. I'm going to pretend like I didn't see this.
You disgust me.
Yeah.
The NFL to the rescue yet again.
Glad that's the way you feel, because that means we disagree on this.
All right.
Set it up.
The NFL is set to play 2 games on Christmas Day this year. The problem is that Christmas Day this year is on a Wednesday.
It's not a problem to them.
Now, this is, I do buy into, and this is business 101. You learn this one of the first days on in school, in college, is that, you know, do not run your business with money in mind. Run it with production in mind, right? Make the best product. Don't chase the money. The money will come with a great product. Yeah. The NFL does not believe in that philosophy at all. They just chase and try to milk every single dollar they can get.
How did that work out for Boeing?
Exactly. Well, that's a problem with Boeing. Now, the issue is that everybody loves the NFL. You know, the NFL, I saw this the other day, Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL got killed, right, for chasing that $100 million or whatever it was for going on Peacock. You know, I think 70% of the people have still not deleted or canceled their account for Peacock.
And why is that?
Because they're lazy, because it's hard to cancel.
Yep.
And that's exactly why Peacock did this and spent the money.
It's like it's the same trick I ran into the other day with my internet provider.
Yeah.
Where I have, you sign up for this deal and I had TV on it and I didn't need the TV anymore. So I was reducing the TV off of it. They put me on with retention, kept me on the phone for an hour and just kept a hold play it like just those dirty tactics, which should honestly be illegal.
I'm dealing with this with the IRS. They still haven't paid me my refund from last year. And every time I go to make a phone call, I'm on there for an hour. Like, I'm just going to like give up.
It should be illegal. And so they were on the phone. I was like, yeah, I just want to take the TV off. They're like, well, if you roll in a Stream TV package, we can save you $30 a month on your net. Because if you don't bundle it with this, then and I was like, okay, how much am I going to pay in 12 months, though? Like,
right.
Well, it'll go up.
It'll go
but
back
you
to
just,
normal.
You just call us and we'll give you there. It's like, yeah, but you know I'm going
to
forget to call.
I'm going to
forget and then
to
I'm
going to
get locked in and I'm going to spend that money again. So after a while of fighting with them, I said, yeah, okay, so take the TV off. And now I also want to downgrade my internet. And so I downgraded my internet just to make sure the retention...
Yeah.
Saw that they lost even more business by trying to upsell me.
Matchups for this Wednesday game will include teams that play on the previous Saturday to account for recovery window, which would make it a normal. And normally it's a Sunday, Thursday, Thanksgiving. So these teams will play on Saturday. So I guess there'll be two or three Saturday games. And then they'll pick two of the teams that didn't play on Saturday, and they will play on the Wednesday. And then I assume they'll be off that weekend. I thought they were going to do a... Wednesday, Sunday, like play Wednesday, be off Sunday the week before, and then play Wednesday, Sunday, but they're going to give them the back end.
Yeah, you can't go Wednesday, unless you mean Wednesday 10 days to Sunday. You can't go Wednesday to Sunday in the same week.
It's no different than Sunday to Thursday on the calendar. It's 3 days.
No, but that would be within the same NFL week. Like the NFL week ends with Monday Night Football. So in order for you to play Wednesday and Sunday, you can't play two games in a week.
Well, I mean that's semantics though, right? It's like I guess you're right. I guess I see what you're saying. It's the same week, but like
yeah, because practices start on Wednesday.
They would just change the week. They would just change the week for that. You know,
you'd have to adjust injury schedules though, because first week of injury reports for NFL teams are Wednesdays.
All right, well, so that's what they're gonna do. Now I love this. Why? Because this saves us from having to pretend like we care about the NBA in December. On Christmas Day. Anything you can do to make me not... like the Christmas Day NBA game was fun back in like 96. Now nobody cares, man. We're not into it. It's during football season. Anything that... if you haven't noticed, anything that is taking place during football season gets eaten by football.
Yeah.
So just stop pretending like you want to be in the league in any sport around that. Major League Baseball, you should end your season in August.
Your
World Series should be Labor Day.
I don't like... I think we are getting a little bit to a point, though, for the NFL. They're testing the theory of, is there such a thing as oversaturation?
Yeah, I get they are. They are testing it, and it's, so far they've shown that there isn't. Yet, for the most part. Now, maybe the ratings are down for some of these games. I don't know, but...
I know for me, and I know for a lot of people in a lot of communities, not... across the country, it's different in other places. But like I know a lot of people here in Texas are upset when there are, like, you know, the recent, you know, attempt to create Friday night football. Because people are like, no, that's the city's night. That's high school football's night. You generally, the NFL has respected
Saturday,
high school football's day and college football's
day. They still
do. They're pushing it now. They're trying to do these Friday night games now every year with Peacock, and
do a Friday night game this year?
They're doing a Friday night game this year, yeah.
And it'll be during the high school season?
Yep.
Because I know with Saturday games with college football.
No, I mean the opening game this year is Friday night in Brazil. That's a Friday night football game. That's opening game. That's September 6th. That's early high school football season.
Yeah. So I do know that...
which, by the way, that'll be the Philadelphia Eagles against the Cleveland Browns.
Mm. Okay, now I do know that. Well, also, you got, you know, you maybe wonder. I have no idea what day high school football is played in those cities. I assume it's Friday, but it might be Thursday. I don't know.
I mean, some gets played on Thursday at different times, but I mean, Friday Night Lights, that's the thing. That's
here, at least for sure.
Yeah.
So that's I'm fine with this. I don't care. I'd rather them not do every Christmas if it's going to be on a Wednesday. What are they going to do if it's on Tuesday? What if Christmas falls on a Tuesday? They're still going to do that?
Probably. Like, I mean, I think they want, like, I heard G-Bag talking about this yesterday, and I think Dawson's right. Dawson had said the NFL wants to get to a point where they can get football on every day of the week. Yeah, that's what they would love.
I think they do. I think they do, man. I think you're right. I gotta hammer the NCAA here real quick. I'm not sure if you saw this, but the start times for the NCAA tournament games this weekend, okay?
I know you're not happy about it.
So they start at 7:09 Eastern tomorrow night, Clemson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last game is 10:09 as a start time. It's Illinois, Iowa State in the local time, which would be in Boston. First off, they play tomorrow in Boston and L.A. Do you think the NCAA would have the wherewithal, or CBS, I should say, would have the idea, the brilliant idea, to put the West Coast game, the games in L.A. on later than the ones that are starting locally in Boston? The regional in Boston starts 30 minutes after the regional, the last game, 30 minutes after the regional in L.A. So yeah, it'll start 10:10 Boston time versus 7 o'clock L.A. time for the second, for the later game. And if that game goes to overtime, the first game that starts at 6:30 or whatever, they're not going to get started at 10:10 Boston time. They're going to start at 10:30, 10:45 at night. At night. Are you kidding me? And they're doing the same thing on Friday where it's here and it's in Detroit. Detroit's in the Eastern time zone. And, of course, the South region's in DFW, which is on God's time zone. And that the Eastern time zone one is starting later than the Central one, local time. By an hour, like, why are they more? What are they doing? Why are these games so late? I don't want these games. These games are going to be on until midnight on Thursday.
Yeah. What I mean is, this just all in the name of?
It makes no sense. Like, why would you not? Why would you not put the LA regional on later than the Boston one?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I mean, it's not even like what are you worried about competing against? Is this about colliding with baseball? Is this? I don't understand what the benefit is here for the NCAA. Like I mean, we clearly, like, we just got done talking about how the way the NFL schedules things. You can clearly see how the NFL, like, comes to the conclusion of how it would be helpful and how they'd be able to benefit from putting things where they are. The NFL is all about trying to schedule things to the most optimum time. Like, I don't understand where, I can't find a reason for how this would benefit other than just, what are they trying to get? Are they trying to create as much of a standalone environment for things as they can? I don't get that. But that's frustrating, especially as if people have to work in the morning.
Yeah, and if you're a fan going to the stadium, you're going to the Midwest or the East Regional, and your local game that you're at doesn't start until 10:30 on a Thursday night that you paid a couple hundred dollars to go to, man. I'd be kind of mad about that one.
I mean, I'm going to be mad about it come Friday morning.
Friday morning, yeah. I'll be up till midnight, 1 o'clock.
Peyton, can you just stay up and watch the games for us and give us a report on them so we can get to sleep?
Sure, yeah, I'll do that.
All right, thanks, Peyton. Appreciate you.
Real quick, the top three execs resigned from Boeing yesterday.
Mm.
Oh, the first one had already done that, but the other two have resigned
immediately, or is this end of the year?
It's all the end of the year stuff. But the three, they are after what's happened over the last couple of months.
9 more months.
What happened? This is what happens when, like we talked about earlier with the NFL, when you put profits over production.
So all right, all we got to worry about is one trip to Oxnard, right?
Worry about that.
Like, well, that's all we got to worry about until these Boeing CEOs are completely out. Come January.
Oh yeah,
so we got to survive that trip, man.
Maybe be back on a Boeing plane.
Exactly.
All right. Meet Church. Matt Pittman was supposed to join us, but he is on vacation. That's brought to you by our friends over at Mr. Electric, who have the power to make things better. What's up next in Below the Belt?
Oh, boy. Sauce Gardner is in some hot water. He's trying to backtrack. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. So what the hell are the Dallas Cowboys going to do with pick 24? So much to address, so few resources to do it. More on that in just a second. First off, a couple promo reminders. We got stuff every day of the week from here on out. Today, sir. KNC Masterpiece are out at Rally House in Mansfield off 287. They're going to be out there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's Rally House at 2041 U.S. 287 in Mansfield Town Center. Tomorrow, the G-Bag Nation is out at Globe Life Field for opening day. They'll be on the air from 2 to 6 p.m., taking you right up to pregame with Jared Sandler. And then 6:35, first pitch right here on the Fan against the Chicago Cubs. Friday, KNC Masterpiece out at Buffalo Wild Wings on Lemon from 10 a.m. to 2, 4140 Lemon Avenue. And then Saturday, again, we're out at the Globe for game two between the Rangers and the Cubs. Alec Medford and Blake Elliott will be out there from 2 to 5:30, taking you up to Rangers pregame. And again, all of that right here on 105 through the Fan. Sauce Gardner is in a little bit of trouble.
Okay, explain this.
He's in a little bit of hot sauce. Chop. Old Sauce Gardner.
Frank's Red Hot?
Sure. I'm just making a play on his name, Sauce Gardner. So this from ESPN. Sauce Gardner went on with popular streamer Aiden Ross when it went on his Twitch stream this week. And Aiden Ross is Jewish. And Aiden Ross had been talking on, discussing things with Sauce, and was talking about how he was sold a Tesla Cybertruck, he said, because of his ethnicity. And that's when Sauce...
He was sold.
That's what he said. The context of it was he was just saying that, like, he believes that's why they were trying to sell it to him, was because he's Jewish, is what he believed. So when Gardner, among a group of people on this Twitch stream, intervened, and Sauce said, "I'm going to be honest, like, no funny weird ass. Y'all run the world. They got so much motion throughout the whole world. Y'all got to see how they be walking in the airport." So that's what Sauce said. Caused a little bit of a stir.
What does that mean? Walk into the airport.
When people started, when the internet caught wind of that, it was pretty quick and swift, the reaction against Sauce Gardner. That led to a response from him on social media yesterday. He said, "I love all people. While my intentions were positive, I just learned that people use those exact words I shared for hate towards Jewish people. That is not what I am about. And I appreciate those who took time to educate me on that fact." To his defense, Aiden Ross. Aiden Ross replied to somebody on Twitter and said, "Bro, I'm Jewish. You didn't said nothing wrong. You said Jews run the world in a good way," which is true. "I said you were fine, so I'm going to defend you." I don't know how much saying that totally helps Sauce, the back end of that, going like, yeah, it's true. Yeah, that probably doesn't help Sauce ultimately for what he's trying to have happen, which is just, hey, here's my statement on it. Let's make it go away. Especially probably what the Jets would prefer right now. But there you go. Sauce Gardner catching a little bit of heat there. Boy, it's not every day where the New York Jets are worrying about somebody other than what Aaron Rodgers has to say on social media about conspiracies. Ooh, and the like.
Man, it's an interesting one because like my philosophy, like I don't believe in getting offended for other people. Like if the person that like, so if this guy, Aiden Ross, was cool with what Sauce said, then I'm cool with what he said. I don't care if somebody else of the same ethnicity finds it offensive. Like it wasn't targeted to him. It wasn't targeted to them. It was targeted to that individual person. Maybe I'm way off on this one. I have to noodle with this idea a little bit more.
I mean, I'll say he addressed it to that particular person, but he did say it as a group.
He did
say it towards an entire group. And look, some people like Aiden Ross may not have a problem with it. There are other people who clearly do have an issue with saying something like that. I think the biggest thing, and I agree with you in large part, getting offended on behalf of someone else.
Yeah, that's I'm out on that.
It feels like overreach at times. But I also understand the idea that some people have, which is that's somebody who may feel marginalized and doesn't feel like they have the power to stand up to that. So thus, it's my responsibility to call that out as, hey, that was a little crappy. I agree with that line of thinking in a social situation.
I get that. But again, if somebody
were to come in here and say something to you about being Italian, somebody were to say something really like offensive or whatever else, and maybe you just felt like you're not a confrontational individual for the most part.
But no, maybe plus it's probably true. But they said about Italian.
Maybe our
blood's filled with ragu.
But except yours, you can't handle it anymore. Your sensitive tummy.
I can't handle it anymore. No,
your sensitive tummy can't handle. But I wouldn't. I don't think it's wrong for someone in a social setting sitting here to go like, okay, Chop may be uncomfortable by this. It just doesn't feel like he. And so I'm going to say on my behalf, like, hey, come on, cut it out. Like, I agree with that.
Right. But if I say, setting, no, man, it's cool. Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay. All right. All right.
Then,
yeah.
Then back away. Like, don't like if I co-sign with it, then yes, like absolutely. But like if I'm like, yeah, it's cool, man. No, don't worry about it. Like, it's not I'm laughing. I find it funny. Then I think the other people should back off.
Well, and I don't think.
So for me, the moment Aiden Ross said this, I think everybody should back off.
Well,
Sauce.
And here's the deal. What we've learned about Sauce Gardner at this point is if he thinks something, he's not going to hesitate to tell you. Like we've seen the way he's talked about Mecole Hardman since he left for the Chiefs and talked about him. And we've seen how direct he's been throughout his career and the way that he talks about things. And so I think if he genuinely meant it as some sort of, you know, if there was some malicious intent behind it, you would know about it. Like I think Sauce would double down on it. I don't think Sauce is just going to let a PR machine get to him and call him down. He probably, somebody said, hey, this is the way it looks. And he must have genuinely felt like, I didn't intend it that way. So I do want to clarify that that's not what I intended by that. And I feel bad about that and wanted to apologize for it. Ultimately, you know, it appears that it's water under the bridge for Aiden Ross and a number of other people. But it did cause a brief stir there, especially you got to remember New York area, everything that they had to deal with in the last couple of years in their media with, you know, Kyrie Irving's comments, things like that.
Sure,
so
absolutely.
Probably an area of sensitivity for New York teams right now. Mock draft season is upon us. We've got a couple new ones. ESPN's Matt Miller is projecting the Dallas Cowboys take. The common thing here is we're just seeing offensive linemen ever, unless you're Mike Tannenbaum, which I know you had that one, didn't you?
I saw this. Okay, go ahead.
So I'll hit the first couple ones, and then you give us Mike Tannenbaum. Matt Miller says Amarius Mims, tackle from Georgia. That's who he's projecting to the Cowboys right now. Says letting Tyron Smith walk, no obvious replacement. Let's go with another guy who's big, you know, a freak athlete for his size. That's your Tyron Smith replacement right there. And then Bucky Brooks has his out, and he goes Graham Barton, the offensive lineman at Duke, who played tackle last year, can play really any of the five positions, and a lot of people think he projects best as a center. If Dallas drafted him, I'm pretty positive he would be here to play center. But either way, offensive line, it seems like we're unanimous, Chop. Every mock draft says offensive line for the Cowboys. No one would presume to think they would take any other position, right?
Maybe. I would think so, but real quick, Mike Tannenbaum's first four picks, all quarterbacks in his mock draft. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels to New England, and then J.J. McCarthy at four to Arizona. Not a trade. Where do the Cowboys go? By the way, he has Brock Bowers going 22nd to Philadelphia.
Oh, that I would not love that. He by the way, you mentioned top four picks or quarterbacks over on Bucky Brooks' mock. He has Drake May going 11 to Minnesota.
Who's he have three?
J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Look, I mean, whatever.
So, but
Mike Tannenbaum has Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas to the Cowboys. This is the write-up. They drafted a bigger defensive tackle than Mozzie Smith last year, but Murphy brings more interior pass rush component. He can anchor with a strong lower body, even though he's 6'1", 297, 59 pressures in 39 games, 5 sacks. He can close quickly on the quarterback, an impressive 4.87 on the 40 at the combine. Do you think does Tannenbaum, like, is he, I have no idea, is he watching tape on these guys? Is he, like, studying the draft picks?
Tannenbaum is, the 33rd team is his.
Yeah.
That's his creation, and they are very much big on studying tape. So I would imagine Tannenbaum's joined in on that. Tannenbaum is probably a, similar to Kuiper, where, or at least what Kuiper used to be, watch, but also cultivate opinion from people and blend that into what you're watching and try to create as realistic a look as possible. I would imagine that's a lot of what he's doing.
Okay. I mean, I don't hate that approach. It's a fine approach.
No, I think it can give you really accurate view of what things look like.
I just don't think they're going to go defensive tackle again.
I don't either, and especially because we're not even talking about, look, I don't think they go defensive tackle in the first round period, but if anything, you'd have questions about Mozzie Smith, not Osa, who is your three technique, and has you know, at times at the end of the season, there's maybe been some burnout, but overall, every year, Oso Odighizuwa has progressed and played really well, and I think they're really high on what he can do at three technique. I'm not drafting a three technique defensive tackle in Byron Murphy. No offense, Hook'em Horns, love the guy, but I'm that feels like a waste of resources with all the other issues facing this team, all the other gaps that they have, and the lack of a fourth round pick.
Real quick, the Franklin injury attorney's fan text asks, if Bowers fell to the Cowboys, do they take him? Even though they don't need him.
That's a good question. I probably would. I would, because he's such a big value. They drafted Schoonmaker in the second round. I think Bowers is fantastic, the tight end from Georgia. He can take over games. And so I would be interested
in that. And they could just let Ferguson walk when his contract's up?
I mean, it's a two tight end league.
Keep resetting.
You could move Schoonmaker maybe. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's a league. A lot of teams use two tight ends. You could run you see teams that'll run out there with, I always hate defaulting to this one just because of where it went, but I mean the old Gronk Aaron Hernandez coupling.
It was a great pairing.
Look, I mean, 12
for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unusual to run out there with two tight ends, and so I absolutely would consider Brock Bowers because he's just that good.
I like him. I like him an awful lot. Is that it for Below the Belt?
That's it.
Below the Belt here on 105.3 The Fan. There's been a lot of discussion today about Dak Prescott's future after the announcement, the report from Ian Rappaport that they were not going to give him probably going to let this thing play out. So what's that mean for Mike and CD? Are they now in jeopardy? We'll talk about it next in the 9 o'clock hour, along with Brett Boone at 9:20. It's next to The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.